Where we're going to take our text today, it's going to be more than just verse 11 there. We're going to read again for the third time, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Don't think it'll hurt us to read that passage again. Ephesians chapter 4, go ahead and turn there if you will. I'll have it on the chart also though. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And while you're turning there, I will join with Joe in saying that I forgot some things to put in the bulletin that I should have. I believe David Wall, who, of course, and I thank you, James, for mentioning our sons of people who are here that are in the military, and I appreciate you remembering them in prayer. One of them is David Wall, of course, Janet and Lynn's son. I'll get that right in a minute. And he's going to be deployed to Iraq pretty soon. And so let's keep him in our prayers. Be his fourth tour of Iraq. And I think not long after that, he plans to be getting out of the military. So Brandon will be getting out of the military pretty soon. And I'm not sure exactly what the plans are there. Tim has another year and a half, I think, before he can retire. Before he wants to stay in that long, then he'll retire. And so that's a little bit up to date on some of those in the military that are connected with the congregation here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 1 and go down through verse 16. And I want to just notice a few things so we get the context. Now, what we're going to be finishing a study of today is Ephesians 4, verse 11. But the context is important. These officers said in the church, why are they there? Okay. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring, now here's a key verse, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The overall context of Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, is the unity of the Spirit. Now, in this immediate context, it's also a matter of the bond of peace. But the apostle, writing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wants the church to achieve the unity of the Spirit. He's going to show us how that is done and how Christ has arranged for this to be accomplished. Now, verses 4 through 6 show us the basis of the unity of the Spirit. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, verse 7 is another key verse. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I want you to take note, and I don't think I've noted this before in our study of this passage. Take note of the fact he says, to each of us, everyone in this audience has gifts are a gift from Christ that is to be used for the church to be brought to the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace and to mature. Now Paul talks about that in more detail in Romans 12. We're not going to notice these passages. We don't have time, but you can put this in your notes. Romans 12, verses 4 through 11. And also in that's Romans 12, verses 4 through 11. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in about verse 14 down through verse 27. We're talking more about these. But everyone has a gift from Christ. Whatever ability you have, that's a gift from Christ. And you're to use that ability for the unity of the church and for the growth of the church. All right, let's read on. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. A quotation from Psalm 68 applied to Christ's ascension back to the Father. And when he went back, he gave gifts. And these gifts are going to enumerate that are the offices of the church in verse 11. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That is, he died. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And now here's the gifts in the form of offices in the church that Christ gave to his church when he ascended back on high. He gave these gifts for the acquiring of the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then beginning in verse 12, he's going to show how we come to that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace by the use of these gifts. But I don't want you to overlook the fact that back in verse 7, he says to each of us, and we're going to come back to that, and if I don't come back to it, somebody wave a hanky and remind me to come back to it later on. To each of us, grace is given. Everybody in this audience has some ability that are Christ-given abilities that are to be used to bring about the unity of God's people by the way that he's going to show us in verses 12 through 16. But here's the offices that Christ set in the church. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, why are these gifts in the church? The Old King James, and the Old King James is exactly literally correct here. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means being brought to completion. The New King James says, for the equipping of the saints. That's all right. That does get the idea across. But literally, the Old King James right is for the perfecting of the saints. That is to bring us to completion as God's people so that we can do what God intends us to do. Why should we? For the work of the ministry. Listen to me carefully. Years ago when I was preaching in Rogers, Arkansas, they had a sign of one parking space in the church parking lot that says, for the minister. I refuse to park in that place. I would never park there. I'm hard-headed, in case you didn't notice that. Because there's not one minister of the church. I am a minister, but so are you. Everyone in this audience who is a disciple of Christ, you are a minister. The word minister just means a servant. Ministry is service. We have service. You have a service. I have a service. Depending on what abilities, what gifts Christ has given to us. I have the ministry of the preaching of the word and also of the eldership in the local church, as does Brother Joe. But you, Mark has the ministry of service, and so does Brother Will. They're deacons of the church. They're the servants of the church. Some have the ministry of song leading. Some have the ministry of cleaning the building. Some have the ministry of preparing the Lord's Supper. Some have the ministry of checking on the old folks and checking on the sick folks and seeing what we do to help those who are discouraged. And those, all of those things are ministries. All of those things are services. To each one of us, all right, I'll get off my high horse. To each one of us, we have a ministry. We have a service. Mine just has to be different from yours. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 17. Don't worry, I'll preach that sometime. Now, what's the purpose of this? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Well, why should we do that? Till we all come, he goes right back to verses 1 through 6, till we all come to the unity of the faith. How do we come there? And of the knowledge of the Son of God. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the overall thing that we're trying to achieve, our overall goal is everybody to become more and more like Christ. Growing up into Christ Jesus, more and more like Him. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every time a false teacher comes along, we shouldn't be carried off with that. We ought to be mature enough not to be carried about by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in Him in all things, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body. Notice, this is the whole body. Listen carefully. We don't have a clergy that's supposed to be doing everything for us. It's the whole body. Denominations have clergy. We all are brethren, brothers and sisters, each with our own gifts, each with our own ministry, all working together for a common goal. That goal is to become mature as Christ and to be one in Christ Jesus. Thus he says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, notice carefully, joined and knit together by what the preacher does. Is that how it reads in your Bible? By what the elders do. By what the deacons do. What is it? Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That's every member of the church. every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Everyone in this audience has your work to do, your service, your ministry in achieving the unity and the growth of the church. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. But now, in order to achieve that unity, he set some offices in the church. We've already studied the first of those, the first three of them. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. And now he says, pastors and teachers. I preached in Grenada, Mississippi for several years. And I was not an elder there. I was the evangelist in the congregation. And the congregation had four elders. And I had my office in the church building. Now, here I had my office at my house, but there I had my office in the church building. And I've never had a secretary in my life. Now, I do say if I make typos in the bulletin and so forth, it's the secretary's fault. But I've never had a secretary in my life. But at any rate, we'd get calls at the church building, and some salesman would say, I'd like to speak to the pastor, please. And I would just grin. Of course, they couldn't see me grinning over the phone. I'd just grin. A little meanness came out. And I'd say, which one of our pastors do you want to talk to? We have four of them. And they would not. I'd usually have, they just hang up then. And what's what I wanted to achieve. They didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Now, the Catholics have a pastor of each local church, and that pastor is also a priest. They mess up in every way you can think of, don't they? And the denominations, they have the pastor of the church. And people wonder, are you the pastor of the church? And I will now tell them I'm one of two pastors, okay? But not in the sense that you're thinking of. Pastors, and by the way, you remember when this study started out, and I was talking about the man in Samoa that wanted to know about the fivefold ministry. And of course, that's Ephesians 4, verse 11. Actually, it's a fourfold ministry. Pastors and teachers, notice why I'm saying this. He gave some to be apostles, right? There's one ministry. Some to be prophets, there's one ministry. Some to be evangelists, there's another ministry. And some to be pastors, and he didn't say some before teachers. Pastors and teachers is the same thing. And one of the qualifications for becoming a pastor is to be apt to teach. Well, Keith, where can I read that? Well, when it gives the qualifications of bishops. Oh, but you said pastor. Yes, we'll talk about that now. First of all, the word pastor in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This is not in your notes. You can write this in. It's a Latin word. Why in the world did the translators, and by the way, they do this in the modern translations also, following the old King James. Did they take a Greek word, which means shepherd, by the way, and translate it into Latin when we speak? How many people, raise your hand, you can do this if you want to. How many people here speak Latin? Well, Mark and Heather might know some Latin. I suspect you do, don't you? And that's about it, I suspect, as far as anybody in this audience knows Latin. So, why did they translate that into Latin? Well, I hate to tell you this, but it's the truth of the matter. The King James translators were good translators, outstandingly good translators. But King James was trying to maintain the status quo. And they had pastors. And he wanted that word in there. And so this is the only time in the entire New Testament that the word pastors is found. And it means shepherds. And if it had been translated shepherds, people wouldn't have such a problem with it. But nonetheless, that's what the word means. What are these, or what is this office of pastors? Well, we read about it in several places in the New Testament. It's the same as the office that usually people in the Church of Christ call elders. But that's not the only word, and that can be confusing. I'm going to try to make this real clear to you. Go, first of all, to Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And we're just going to see how this developed in the New Testament. Acts 20, verse 17. Paul's on his third journey of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and he comes to the city of Miletus on the coast of Asia Minor, what is in the province of Asia, what is now Turkey. And he says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and call for the elders of the church. Now, make a mental note in your mind. Who is Paul talking to? Elders of the church. The word elder just means literally an older man, but this is an office in the church. Okay. Now, he's talking to the elders of the church, and we skip down to verse 28. And notice what he's telling the elders of the church. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, that word overseers, and I'm going to come back to this later and have it on a chart for you so you can get this down. That word overseers is from the Greek word episkopos. Guess where the Episcopal Church got its name? From that Greek word episkopos, okay? And it's translated in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, bishops. And by the way, the Church of England has bishops, one bishop over a number of churches. And King James wanted to keep the status quo, so that's the reason the word bishops is in the Bible. The word means overseers. And that's the way it should have been translated, and that's the way it was translated in Acts 20, verse 28. So the same word is found in 1 Timothy 3, 1, is the word overseers. So elders are the overseers of the church. They're the ones that make the decisions for the church, okay? And then he says, to shepherd. Now that's a verb. It's an action word. But it is the same verb that if it were in the noun form, a naming word, it would be the word pastor in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It could be said to pastor. Now, the old King James says to feed. Well, that's what a shepherd does, partly, is to feed the church. But the word is the word, the verb word, the action word for shepherd or pastor or feed. It's all the same thing. An elder is an overseer slash bishop, is a shepherd slash pastor. That's all the same office, okay? Now, we're not going to go into detail about what their work is, but that is what they are. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, that's not the only passage that shows us this. There's another passage that has all three names for the one office in the same passage. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The elders who are among you, I exhort. Now he's talking to the elders. This is the Apostle Peter, who am also a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Shepherd, that's that verb form of the word which translated pastor in Ephesians 4:11. Shepherd, the church of God, which is among you. What are elders? They're shepherds or pastors. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. That's that word episkopos. That's that word which means overseers, or is translated bishop. By the way, I skipped over something. That word elder is the word presbyteros. And guess where the Presbyterian church gets its name? From the fact they have a plurality of elders in each local church. Joe and I have a mutual friend here in town who is an elder in the Presbyterian church that meets up on Highway 5, but in town. And nice fella. And he's a part of the board of elders of that Presbyterian church in town. And so the Presbyterian church has a plurality of elders in each local church, which, by the way, they're right on. And so it's called the Presbyterian Church for elders, okay? But the word elder is simply an older man. Older men who meet some qualifications. They're also to be the overseers slash bishops. They're also to shepherd slash pastor, feed the local church. And, well, let's finish the reading. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now then, that's the same word, that word overseer, that's translated bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, that whole phrase, office of a bishop. If you have the New King James, now at least in my New King James translation, I have a footnote by the word bishop there, and the footnote says literally overseer. Okay? But that whole phrase is from one word in the original, which means the overseership. That's the literal meaning of that whole phrase, office of a bishop, overseership. So overseers slash bishops, elders, shepherds slash pastors, that's all the same office. Now, are we to have one over the church? Now listen to me carefully. The Catholic Church, they have one priest who is the pastor of a local church, don't they? And he's clergy. The clergy is set about apart from the laity. And the clergy you're supposed to listen to, and the laity are supposed to be the ones that do the listening. Isn't that right? And just like when I was in northern New York City, we had a booth at the county fair. And we're trying to get people to come by and take a Bible correspondence course. And a family, a man and a wife and two children walked by. And the fellow sitting there with me said, why don't you come take our Bible correspondence course? And the fellow never looked back. Not one of the four people of that family ever looked back at us. But the fellow, as he walked on, said, if I want to know anything about the Bible, I'll ask my priest. Well, that's what the clergy does. You want to know what is anything, you go ask your priest. And he'll tell you. Now, he's set apart. He's supposed to be the know-everything, and you're supposed to take his word for it. Now, nobody takes my word for anything here. And by the way, that's the way it ought to be. Make me prove it from the book. If I can't prove it from the book, don't believe it. Make me put my finger on the verse that says it. If I can't do that, don't accept it. I'm not a clergyman. We don't have any clergy. We're all ministers in Christ Jesus. The Protestants, they have their clergy also. They have the ones that are set apart and the pastor. And if they want to know something about the Bible, they go ask the pastor and they accept what he says. One man over a congregation. Now that's not what is in your Bible or my Bible, either one. There's always a plurality. If there are elders in the local church, there are a plurality of elders. By the way, they have to meet some qualification. We'll talk more about that later. All right, now, before we go over to this qualifications, I'm going to try to make this. I know I've thrown out a lot of words. Now, here's the passage. Yeah, there's the passages. And there's the English words, and there's the Greek words. And it's all for the same office, and I'm not going to go back through all of that. It's all the same office in the local church. Now, I hope, if you want to get this, I know you can't get all this down. If you want to get this, let me know, and I'll either print it off or send it to you in an email, and I'll get it to you. But here's the passages, there's the English words, and there's the Greek words behind them. Now, I put this in the form of a chart. I hope you can see that chart, or I'll try to make that where you can see that chart. Here's the passages, Ephesians 4:11, Acts 20, verses 17 and 28, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. Now, I took it in the order that they're used in Acts 20, verses 17 and 28. The word elders is found in these two passages. And from these two passages, we know they're the same thing as overseers and shepherds. But we know from this passage that a bishop is the same thing as an overseer, and that a pastor from this passage is the same thing as a shepherd. So what we have are, and I'm sorry the English translation made this so confusing. It shouldn't be confusing. There's three words, really. And the three words is elders, older men, overseers, and shepherds. That's the three words. Now, the English translators have made this complicated by putting in the word pastors and the word bishops. But what it is elders, overseers, and shepherds. That's the office, the office that God, that Christ set in the church when he ascended back on high. The elders have the oversight of the church, that is, they make the decisions. The elders shepherd the church, that is, we're responsible for the spiritual welfare of the members of the congregation. Now again, I know you don't have the time to get all that down. If you want that, let me know. But write it down for me. Don't just tell me verbally. Write it down for me, and I'll get this to you so you can see this and have it in your own notes. All right. Now, there's to be a plurality of elders in each local. Not one bishop over a number of churches. Not one pastor over a church. But there are to be a plurality of elders in each local church, and this is consistently the way it is in the New Testament. There's never an exception. Always, plurality of elders in one church. If there's not a plurality of men qualified to be elders, then the church cannot have elders. There must be more than one. And make that plain enough. Acts 14, verse 23, Paul and Barnabas on Paul's first preaching trip to the Gentiles. And when they had appointed elders, plural, in every church. So there's pastors, shepherds, elders, overseers, bishops, all the, in every church. They prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So elders, plurality, in every church, not just one. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writing to Titus says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders," plural, elders, "in every city as I commanded you." Always a plurality of elders in each congregation. Now then, but you can't have elders unless you have men who are qualified to be elders. Now let me give you, you can put this into your notes, the two passages that give the qualifications. Now, first of all, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. That gives the qualifications for elders, for deacons, and for the wives of both elders and deacons. There's qualification for the wives also. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Then in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 are the qualifications for elders. And of course it says bishops, but you know that's the same thing as elders or shepherds, pastors. All right. So that's the two passages. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Now, it's not a suggestion that it'd be nice if men meet these qualifications. It is a must. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop, see, that's the same thing as overseer, elder, pastor, shepherd. A bishop, then, must, emphasize that word must be blameless. That means he has no sins in his life currently that can be charged against him. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, apt to teach, and the rest of the qualifications there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So it's a must. Before a man can serve as an elder, he must meet those qualifications. The congregation select them. They're appointed by an evangelist. All right, now I have the word deacons up here. Deacons are not mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The reason is, I believe, that the offices mentioned in Ephesians 4, verse 11 are for the edification, building up of the church. But the deacons are servants, and they're mentioned in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. The word deacon means servant, okay? And their service is exemplified by the seven men in Acts 6, verses 1 through 6. They took care of some material things so that the apostles were free for spiritual things. I am so happy that we now have two deacons in the local church, and they are taking some load off of the shoulders of Joe and Keith. Now, James once said, James, I'm going to put you on the spot on this. James once said, we have the dumbest elders of any church he knows of. And Larry amened him. Because we did the work of deacons and elders both, upon which I informed James, well, we're going to get two deacons. It'll be James and Larry. And, of course, they both refused. But nonetheless, we have deacons, and that takes a load off the elders of the church. they can do things that no longer Joe and I have to be primarily concerned with. And they have work that we ask them to do, and they're doing that work. And Joe and I both appreciate them immensely, and I hope that you appreciate them also. And I'm so happy that we have deacons in the congregation now. And so, but that's not a part of the edifying of the church, the building up of the church to bring it to unity. So they're not mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But Philippians 1, verse 1 contains every office of the local church. Elders or bishops, deacons, and saints. That's it. Well, what about the preacher? We talked about that before. I'm a preacher wherever I go. That's not an office in this local church. The Lord willing, early in March, I'll be going to London for a week to work with Manny Ebong in helping to establish a new congregation. I'll be a preacher when I'm over there. We'll talk more about this. In May, I'll make my last trip to Africa. The Lord, I will not be going to Africa anymore after this year. And I'll be going to Kenya for a couple of weeks. I'll be a preacher while I'm there. But when I'm here, I'm a preacher also. And also, now the elders and office in the local church, a preacher, that's work wherever the preacher goes. Okay, so then that's all the offices in the local church through these offices. And remember, every member has a gift from Christ in things that you can do to help the local church achieve unity and maturity. And that maturity is for a purpose of having unity and all being like Christ. It is for the purpose of the unity and maturity of the local church, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended upon high, he gave gifts to men. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. But get the verse right before that. To each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone here, we don't have a clergy. We don't have somebody that's separate from the rest of us, that we all have to listen to and do whatever he says and believe whatever he says. We're all ministers. We all have the gift from Christ. And the only source of authority that we have is our Bible. And if I can't give you proof from the Bible, you don't have to believe it. In fact, you should not believe it unless I can put my finger on the verse that teaches. And then finally, well, we won't go back to verses 12 through 16. It's to bring the church to the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I hope that we have some understanding now